Well, are you serious? Like getting along? We should be able to get along. We should be able to work together, worship together, serve together, right? Play together, rejoice together. But it's sometimes it's a challenge because we have different personalities. We have different constitutions. Some of us have different tolerances. So it makes it a little challenging at times. And I think some of the things that came up in Sunday school this morning was, what can we do to be better at loving our brother, tolerating our brother, putting up with our brother, dealing with personality quirks, idiosyncrasies? And I think what Jesus is saying is, number one, take heed to yourselves, which I've entitled the lesson because the New Living Translation says, watch yourselves. Actually, it's in my notes there. It's the very first thing that Jesus says in verse 17, 3. And he just says, watch yourselves, which I kind of talked about a little bit last week. That means don't just look at the other person's issue. Look at your own self as well. Look at the fact that you owe the Lord, as we said in Sunday school, $5 million, and someone owes you $5. So just take a breath, relax. It's not the end of the world. So Jesus says, take heed to yourselves, which means, number one, watch yourself. And that's my first point in the notes. I don't have the notes because I walked out and forgot them, but I email them to most everyone that has an email address. If you don't have an email or didn't get the notes via email and you would like to from now, just let me know and I'll give it to Gloria and she'll send it out to you. So the first point was just like looking at yourselves. And Layla, can you just put up Matthew 7, 3 through 5? It'll be a little easier to see on the screen. It's bigger. Let me just tell you what Matthew 3 says on that note. So Jesus says, why do you behold? Let's put it in the NLT. That way I don't have to explain it. Jesus says, why are you worrying about a speck in your friend's eye when you have a log in your own? Let's do the next one too, please. The next verse says, how can you think of saying to your friend, let me help you get rid of that speck in your eye when you can't see past the log in your own eye? Isn't that good? That's just like right on. And verse 5, hypocrite. Wow, that's strong. That means play actor. That means you're being false. You're portraying something that you're not. It says, hypocrite. First, get rid of the log in your own eye, then you will see well enough to deal with the speck in your friend's eye. So, translate that, Pastor Will. It just means like before we go off on someone, before we get impatient with someone, before we can't let something go, just think about your own faults, your own shortcomings, and then deal with that. Amen? That's what I think I hear Jesus saying. Is that court? Oh, yeah, I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it. I'm gonna get it out of my way just so I don't have to deal with it. Thank you, Bakara. So that's number one. So I put this alliteration together, which we talked about a little bit last week. So it starts out with just review. Let's review ourselves. First thing we need to do when there's a conflict, when there's a problem, start with numero uno, you. Look at yourself. What is my contribution to this issue? What's my part of this problem? What part do I take ownership of? How am I adding to the problem? Amen. My late great friend John Morgan used to say, you're either part of the problem or you're part of the solution. You can't be neutral. Amen. You can't step back and say, well, it's somebody else's fault or they got to deal with it. Nope. The Lord puts it squarely on us in St. Matthew 5 when he says, on your way to the altar, you remember that your brother has an all. That suggests that there's a part of this responsibility that's on us, right? You all with me? Okay. Too hot, too cold? I can turn on more air. Somebody say, no, don't do that. Okay, good. All right. So next on our, okay, Marcus, take us down. But on the next on the list, I believe, is review. So watch yourselves is this first one on our PowerPoint. Okay, we did review. And if you would do number two, Marcus. The next one is resist responding. To nonsense. I talked about that enough in Sunday school, but just basically that just simply means this. This is what Jesus is saying in Luke 17. He's saying, first of all, don't go overboard. If thy brother trespasses against thee, rebuke him. But he says, first start out by rebuking yourself, in other words, take heed to yourself. So we want to respond, we want to resist overreacting, resist responding to something that's not even a sin. It's just a personality quirk that you have a problem with, and so now you're taking it out on someone else. It's not really a sin. It might be an irritation. It might be something that just don't sit right with you. It may be a personality conflict. It could be something that says to you, I just don't like the way the person sounds. You know, they're too aggressive. They're too caustic. They're too loud. They're too soft. They're too passive. They're too aggressive. These are little things, right? At the end of the day, aren't they little things? You may say, well, not when you're going through it, Pastor Will. A person just gets on my last nerve. I hear you. I feel you. I know you're right. But in the scheme of things, but listen, in the scheme of things, in the scheme of life and death, they're little. So listen, in Genesis, I think it's around chapter 46, 47, Joseph introduces his dad, Jacob, to the Pharaoh in Egypt. You can read this. I'm not making it up. He introduces him, and the Pharaoh, I think at the time, it may have been Ramses II or Ramses III, he says, hey, how old are you, old man? And I'm sure he said it a little more politely than that. But he said, my days of sojourning, which is a polite way of saying, I've been around, man, for 130 years, which would seem like anyone that lives to be that long, you've seen it all, you've felt it all, you've heard it all, right? You have no complaints. Listen to what Jacob's response was to the Pharaoh. He said, my years have been 130 years. He said, my days actually have been 130 years, which, by the way, we may get to that one day and break that down, because that is just so good. It's just so, the Bible advocates that we should monitor and manage our life in days, not years. Because we only live one day at a time. We only get one day. You don't get a year and say, okay, you got this year. Let's see what you do with it. That's not how God works. God gives us this 24-hour interval. The Hebrew word gnome. He gives us this one day, this 24-hour solar day. One revolution around. That's all we get. And sometimes we don't even get the whole day. You know, we don't always get a 24-hour cycle. Sometimes the Lord takes us home because he's ready for us then. It might only be 3 o'clock. We don't know. But the point is that God tells us to measure our life in terms of days, 24-hour increments. Amen? Doesn't that really change things? And you know what? There's a philosophical reason. There's a biblical reason for that. That is really profound. If we only manage our days in 24-hour increments, there's less to worry about. Jesus said, take no thought for your life tomorrow. Jesus said, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow's not promised. You don't have a guarantee to see Monday, July, help me out, 13th. You don't get a guarantee to see the 13th. Amen. It would be nice. We're hoping tomorrow comes. It reminds me of a line in the movie Groundhog Day, where the guy, I can't think of, you got the star of the Groundhog Day movie, Bill Murray. He says, he was talking to somebody on the phone, and he says that the snow is supposed to stop tomorrow. And he says, how do you know it's going to stop tomorrow? He said, it didn't stop today. We didn't get it tomorrow yesterday. And in other words, he was saying, like, tomorrow is not guaranteed. We didn't get one yesterday. I've been reliving this same day for a month. So the point is that tomorrow is not promised, but the Lord wants us to deal with each day, one day at a time. So here, let me just finish the response of Jacob to Pharaoh. He said, hey, the sojourn of my days have been 130 years. And they've been few. Look it up. Whatever translation you want, look it up. He uses two words to describe being alive 130 years. He says they've been few and they've been evil. That kind of describes what life is about. And this guy is sort of, he's sort of in a backdoor way, not to God, but God is listening. He's talking to Pharaoh. He said, yeah, because I'm a little salty. I'm interpreting. I'm a little salty because my father lived to be 180. My grandfather lived to be 175. And I'm only a buck 30. I'm saying, dude, you got bigger problems. Your life has been blessed. You made it this long and you can walk from where they were in Canaan land down to Egypt. You can walk down to Cairo or on horseback or however he got there. He didn't take an Uber and he didn't fly there. So I guess my point is that all of our problems are what? Relative. Amen? So what Jesus is saying is that don't let everything bother you. Don't make everything a federal case. Spend time in the Word so the Lord can harden you and toughen you up and strengthen you and make you more resistant to little things like smart remarks or I don't like your tone or I don't like your attitude or I don't like the way you look at me. The Lord will toughen you up and let you know that that means nothing in the scheme of things. That means nothing in terms of reality. He says, I have not seen, ear have not heard what the Lord has in store for us that love him. Amen, right? He tells us that that these trials, I think it's Romans 10:25 or Hebrews 10 also echoes this verse where it says that these afflictions, these brief afflictions are minor compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. In other words, you're tripping over minor stuff. Do you know what I have prepared for you? Do you know what I've given you? Do you know what I'm still going to give you? Don't get upset. The best is yet to come. I got glorious plans for you. I'm going to promote you. I'm going to build you up. I'm going to enlarge your coast. I'm going to expand your blessings. This is what I have in store for you. And you're crying over someone's tone? Oh, my goodness. Let's do number three, Marcus. I only got five. Let's do three, Marcus, please. I forgot my notes, so I'm depending on Marcus. And it seems like he might be on a call. That's okay. I have it on my phone. So the third thing that Jesus says here is that if your brother trespasses against thee, he says, rebuke him. Let me just say what that means, the rebuking part. It doesn't mean that you go off on them, okay? Rebuke here doesn't mean criticize, embarrass, demean, dismiss, disrespect, insult. That's not what rebuke means. Rebuke means with love and care, come to your brother or your sister and say, you know, what you did wasn't cool. What you did actually was wrong. Not what you did hurt my feelings. Please don't go there. That should not be something that believers deal with. We need to get bigger than that. We need to get better than that. We need to get stronger than that, right? I know everybody in here have said, well, that hurt my feelings. There should be a day where we get to the point where we say, you know what? That could have hurt my feelings. But I ain't going to hold that against you. Because you didn't really mean to say it that way. And if you did, shame on you, but I'm not going to let it mess up my day. Amen? I woke up this morning playing Forrest Franks, I'm Thankful. And I was just looking at some of the words that he was saying, how he was saying that he's thankful for little things like having pots and pans to put on his stove. He was thankful for having clothes that he could wear. He was thankful for having a car and having a few friends that remembered his name. And I remember a few weeks ago I read to you guys this little piece that I found. I found this piece by, it was an unknown author, but they were talking about how bite your tongue about complaining about, you know, really first world issues, what it boiled down to. Little things that are just minor inconveniences. Amen? Thank you, Marcus. Minor inconveniences, but not really egregious problems. So rebuke is serious, but it's done in a loving way, the way a parent would correct a child. With a child, you wouldn't go ballistic on the kid and crush their self-confidence and crush their self-esteem, right? You wouldn't ordinarily. I mean, we probably have done that unknowingly or where we were immature parents, but we want to try to be corrective without being destructive. Amen. We want to try to give truth with love and not try to demean our brother and sister who is actually coming to us to do something that helps us. Amen. Are you all with me? I'm almost done. You guys should be happy because I've got 5 points to make and I've already made 3. So y'all should be like locked in, like keep on going, brother. We're gonna keep on moving down that list because we're almost home. We're almost home. So here's the number 4 thing. Thank you, Marcus. So repentance, we've talked about this 1,000 times. Probably the most important thing I wanted to bring up about repentance, because that's in the verse. Let me read the verse again. Layla, if you can put it back on the screen, 17:3. Take heed, King James Version, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass or sins against you, and we've said there's a difference between a sin and your feelings being hurt, rebuke him. We talked about how we rebuke him. And if he repents. So let me just give you kind of like a working definition of this, and there will be exceptions, but check this out. The difference between forgiveness and reconciliation is that forgiveness can be done unilaterally. It only takes one person to forgive. All of us are responsible for forgiving, either offering forgiveness, Sister Connie, or accepting forgiveness. All of us are responsible for that. You can't avoid that. However, reconciliation requires two people to reconcile. Person A and person B have to ask for forgiveness and accept forgiveness mutually. Ultimately, God wants us to reconcile. He requires that we forgive. You can't make another person accept your apology, and you can't make another person accept your forgiveness. That's their option to refuse. But you are required to keep on asking and keep on trying to break down that wall. Don't do it belligerently. Don't make the situation worse. But we're responsible to try to keep entreating our brother and sister so that we not only are acting in forgiveness, but we're achieving or striving to get reconciliation, bringing them together. Because ultimately what the Lord wants, according to the Bible in Matthew 18, the Lord wants us to gain our brother. Remember I talked about that last week? You're not just responsible for being able to speak, say, hey, what's up? No, what the Lord really wants us is to be friends again. Don't just say, I'm sorry, and then avoid them. If you see them going out the front door, you go out the back. Because then there's something still there. There's something still there. You know, it ain't like you guys got to go to Starbucks and share a coffee or something, but you should not be avoiding them to the point where you're going out of your way to not encounter them. That suggests something still is at large. Something is still is in play. Amen? Okay, and the last point, number 5. Thank you, Marcus. The last point in my little PowerPoint presentation is when we forgive, when we release that person, Brother Cole said it so beautifully today. Brother Cole in Sunday school said that we don't just, forgiveness is not a one and done proposition. Forgiveness is not just, okay, Mary Favors, good to see you. I forgive you for missing the last 5 Sundays. Oh, boy, I love you, Mary. Mary, she didn't miss the last 5. But my point is that it's not just one and done. It's like you keep on. That's what Jesus is saying. That's what he's saying. He's saying that, you know what, if you forgive them and they sin again against you an hour later, A minute later, a day later, a week later, you keep on forgiving them. And you keep on and you keep on. At one passage, he says 7 times 70. He's not referring to 490, although 490 would be good, because we probably don't get offended or sinned against 490 times, maybe in a lifetime. But by the same person, no. Probably after the fourth time, I'm moving to Toledo. I'm sorry. Cleveland just ain't big enough for the two of us. I'm being facetious, but the point is that we after so many times, we probably find a way to politely put some space between us and the offendee or the offender, right? We find a way to at least maybe avoid being in their company. We're not trying to go out the back door while they go out the front. We're not going there, but what we're saying is, okay, we've made up, we're speaking. There's some things about this person that's probably going to trigger an unpleasant response. Maybe for now I should try to find a way to work in a different space. That's exactly what, you guys should come listen to Ella Beecham on Wednesday. Our classes have been so beautiful. Thank you, Brother Coach. Just an excellent class. Hey, let's give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. So I'm saying that because Coach really broke down the conflict, I'm going to call it what it was. It was a fight. They didn't go to fisticuffs, but they came close with Barnabas and Paul over John Mark. And it got heated, the Bible says. It was no small disagreement. That means that they didn't just disagree on, you know, it was raining or misty outside. They were almost maybe at blows. We don't know. But the Bible lets us know that you can disagree and even part ways as long as you don't part friendships. So later on, we know that Paul did call for John Mark later on in life and said that this dude is not only great, he's good for ministry. We're good. They could have been good for years. I think he was good with Barnabas too. Just because he started working with Silas doesn't mean that Barnabas was a sinner all of a sudden and God wasn't using him. I heard a preacher preach like, yeah, when Paul and Barnabas, and when they had that fight, Barnabas got on a boat and just sailed off the pages of Scripture. I disagree with that. Just because the dude's name wasn't mentioned again doesn't mean that God cast him away. He probably went to Egypt somewhere and started ministry, or he was in Caesarea, or he was in Italy, or wherever. I mean, the world's a big place. God needs more than just a couple Pauls and Barnabases around, right? So God uses us. We can go different ways, just as long as we don't harbor anything. And I can't imagine that God could continue to use Paul the way he did if Paul was harboring ill feelings about Barnabas or even John Mark, that God would continue to use him to write all those great epistles, books in the Bible. God used him mightily. So I think it's safe to assume that though it doesn't say it explicitly, implicitly Paul forgave Barnabas, he forgave John Mark, he called for him later in life, all was good. That's how we're to do. We, as Brother Cole was saying this morning, we keep working on forgiveness. We didn't get angry in overnight in just a hot second, and now we're mad for life. There was probably something percolating, something that was going on, something that just came to a head, and then this person said something, and then it just all erupted in a volcano of anger. I think that's how forgiveness is. It just has to we keep working on it. We keep putting out those fires one at a time. We keep letting things go over, flow over, let it go. Don't harbor. Okay? Don't let something grow inside of you. I heard a preacher say when I was a kid that hurt becomes hate if it's unchecked. Hurt can evolve into hate. We have to be careful. Don't go into a dark place and then isolate yourself so that you can just let your mind reverberate those thoughts over and over like an echo chamber. No, you need to get out and talk to people. You need to be on your knees praying. You need to be fellowshipping. You need to be worshiping. You need to be thankful. Don't go dark. Yes. Amen? Amen? Say it with me. Don't go dark. Don't go dark. Don't go dark. It's not worth it. just not worth it. I think I'm done. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you for this time together today. We have some beautiful songs to sing. We want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Have your way in our service. Bless us to do those things that are pleasing in your sight. Lord, for the balance of this service and all up until now, may you be glorified. May your people be edified. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. Amen. 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 Anybody have any quick questions on the sermon?
I have a question.
Yes, go right ahead.
Can you?